Welcome back to Twice Upon a Time. This time, Roger and I will do a recap of Season 4B, The Queens of Darkness. As always, we'll start off with a synopsis. This is the second time we're recording this. Earlier, I told Roger that the synopsis was really short. It was only really short because I didn't finish writing it. It's still fairly short, but it's a little longer than it was the first time.
It was really short. That wasn't a lie. It was just implied that it was really short and complete.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In any case, in the land without magic, Rumpel brings Cruella and Ursula together to enact his plan. Get into Storybrooke, find the author, and get him to write their happy endings. Ursula and Cruella convince the heroes to let them into Storybrooke and keep their word to Rumpel to sneak him in. They resurrect Maleficent and begin their hunt for the author. Regina, undercover, joins them. We learn that Snow and Charming use Maleficent's baby to take all of the potential for darkness out of Emma, in utero, and send Maleficent's baby through a portal to the land without magic. They desperately try to keep this secret from Emma, and she is pissed when she finds out. After discovering that the picture of the door is the door, the heroes and the villains race for the page. Henry finds the key, and Emma lets the author out. Rumpel needs dark savior blood for ink and sets Emma on a path to kill Cruella and darken herself. But when Lily, Maleficent's daughter, comes to town, she's the dark savior they need. The author's allegiances bounce back and forth a few times, but ultimately he decides to write Rumpel's happy ending, where the villains are the heroes and the heroes suffer. Henry goes into the heroes and villains story to save everyone. Ultimately, Regina's sacrifice makes her the savior of that story, and Henry, the new author, uses her blood to return everything to normal. Back in Storybrooke, Rumpel's heart completely blackens, and the darkness leaves his body. It finds Regina, and Emma becomes the Dark One herself to save her. Roger, what did you think of this season?
I think it's fun. I didn't love the final two episodes before we got to the finale, but I think the season is fun. I will say it's one of the seasons that, upon watching it with a more critical eye, it was less enjoyable than maybe I thought it was in the past. If you turn your brain off and just kind of watch it and take it at face value, it's a good season. I think, critically thinking about it, I still have it as third. I give it a B-minus. Certainly not 3A heights, not one. Way better than Frozen, better than 3B. But it feels like, while it is fun, I don't know that I can say it's very good. I think it was just fun.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I enjoyed watching every episode of the season, even the ones that I didn't think were very good. Like, I was excited to watch every episode.
Yeah, there are no episodes where I was like, this is the worst crap I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there are, like, you scoffed when I called it the Queens of Darkness season, because it's kind of not.
Because it's ridiculous that, like, they're not relevant for the most part.
Yeah. But I did enjoy it. I think that there was a lot of potential here that they, like, squandered a bit. But shall we see if we got our questions answered?
To close that loop, I think in many ways it reminds me of 2, in that there was a lot of potential for really good, and then we kind of just, like, stopped on the doorstep.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment.
Yeah.
All right. I have 4 questions, not 5, from last time.
I actually only had 4.
Okay, cool. Apparently we didn't have that many questions going in. My first question was, who is the author?
That was one of my questions.
And we found out, and we got a fun twist, because now Henry's the author.
I think.
You think that Henry's the author?
Well, he snapped the pen.
Sure.
So it is possible that he actually rejected the role as author, because no one should have that much power, is what he says.
That's true. But he did author something.
And then basically, like, ended it. So I'm not sure going forward if he said, like, this is the last thing the author will ever author, and then we're done here, or... look, author was one of my questions. Isaac was fantastic. He was revelation.
It was great.
I think he was one of the 2 to 3 best parts of the season. His backstory was a fun episode, part of Operation Mongoose, but Cruella's backstory that he's a huge part of was an excellent, like, top 3 backstories we ever get.
I also like that he's, like, not some, like, big, powerful villain. And he's not very, like, obviously there's, like, villains that are not likable because they're, like, horrendous human beings, Cruella. But also were, like, likable and, like, they're fun to watch. Yeah. Isaac is kind of, like, a piece of shit.
I don't know. Like, Isaac is smarmy, but I think what's nice about him is that he isn't overly powerful the way that both Zelina and Ingrid were. Like, way too powerful for my taste. But he has like a different motivation than your typical villain. Like most villains want kind of base level things. Korra wants unbelievable power. Pan wants forever youth and unbelievable power. I don't know what Ingrid wanted. Zelina wanted.
Ingrid wanted love of her sisters. Roger.
But her sisters were dead.
Right. So she wanted new sisters.
Okay.
They had to be blonde, though, even though her sisters weren't both blonde.
The less we talk about her, the better. Zelina wanted to essentially change her past.
Uh-huh.
He just wants to write a fun story.
Yeah.
And I think his...
And he wants to be famous.
He wants to be famous, which is like... Well, we actually don't find that out to the very end that he really craves fame. We just find out he wants a story. And the way that he interacts with the characters is different every time, so it's fun. Isaac's interaction with Regina is like, oh, you were such a fascinating character to write, and he describes them in her in a nutshell. Whereas with Rumple, he's on the edge of like, please don't kill me. And with Corella, there's a backstory. So it's like him with every character was very fun. Yeah, and I thought he was really, really good. I absolutely enjoyed the actor. I enjoyed the character. I wish we got more.
Yeah, agreed. My second question was, what's Rumple's plan? I'm not sure why that was my question. I think because it was like a burning desire to know.
Well, no, because at the end of the previous season, we saw him with Ursula saying, like, that's true. So that was a fair question.
I guess that's a fair question. I feel like I framed it the way I answered it with a yes, which I guess was that we figured out what Rumple's plan was. Like, obviously, that's every season is Rumple's plan, and that's what the season is. Most of the time. Season one.
That's like the only other time I can think that that's true. It's not true in 2. It's not true in 3A. In 3B, he's a slave.
Okay. Okay, fine. I like to think he's so many steps ahead that he plans everything. Well, it's not just that it's not just like season one. It's also that like everything leading up to season one, like people meeting that had not had a child yet was part of his plan.
Yeah.
His plan was... I don't know.
It's actually never made really clear to me because I know it's funny because you had said that, like, I don't believe he wants Neil back, which we categorically find out is not true. I think part of his plan was to undo Neil's death. And then he finds out at the end he can't do that. And he talked about his happy ending, but it was never made abundantly clear to me what Rumple thought his happy ending was.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it included being with Belle, which I'd hoped it didn't, but kind of figured it might. And he didn't really get it. Like, even if heroes and villains had stuck, as I said in the recap of the Mongoose, he's still a coward.
Yeah.
So, like, he really, like, the author kind of screwed him. Yeah, I mean, it was strange. Yeah.
Well, and it's also interesting... I mean, similar to, like, the curse, like, how much did Isaac actually write? Like, did Rumple just ask, like, I want to be married to Belle, I want to have a child, and then, like, Isaac wrote him as he is, or did he specifically make him that way?
I think from what we see in the episode where Isaac poofs away from Regina, he is very detail-oriented.
That's true.
Like, he says everything that happens in great detail, to the point that Rumple often tells him, shut up, you're rambling. So I think we can assume that Isaac wrote everything specifically with a purpose.
That's fair.
That segues into my question was, okay, so like Rumple is untethered from Belle. He's going to get his power back at some point. What does like Rumple being unleashed really mean? We never really see it. We see him plan in the one episode where Corella dies. We see a great trick when he deceives Belle to pretend to be Hook. We get tastes of it, but we never get a true Rumple Dark One unleashed. In fact, all we get is like a coma.
Yeah, actually, that's an excellent point. Like, we get all of those warnings that made us so exciting about, like, you don't want to be here when there's no one else at home. And then, like, the darkness just leaves his body.
I was expecting a ghoulish, terrifying monster that is just unhinged. And instead, the darkness was just revealed to be, I don't know, like, kind of like the thing from Venom.
Yeah, it just, like, winds its way into you.
Yeah, yeah, just an entity, but it, like, the way Rumple made it sound, which I think is okay for Rumple to have been wrong, but I was just expecting a more, like, oh, shit, this is Rumple without a conscience, and we didn't get that.
I think that they didn't know, I don't know how people would have won. I mean,
Just ways to stop the Dark One.
I'm not the writer. Like, they should have figured it out.
Yeah. Or, like, you know, as I say, sometimes if you put yourself in a situation where you don't like either ending, just don't put yourself in that situation. Mm. If you don't know how to defeat the Dark One when he's unleashed, then don't unleash him.
Right.
Or don't talk about it. Yeah, that was really... And then, like, honestly, his ending was he falls into a coma. Yeah, his heart is purified of darkness. Which also, I was under the impression that he died when the darkness left.
Yeah, I don't... Well, also, I guess... That isn't... I don't think that's what would have happened. Because, like, the apprentice, like, removes the darkness from him.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that we would have gotten Rumpel unleashed if they hadn't done that.
Oh, okay. Because Rumpel says, like, Rumpelstiltskin can die, uh-huh. but the Dark One can't.
Yeah.
And it made it sound like Rumpel the man would fade away and you would just have...
I mean, maybe that's what they mean. Yeah. But I'm not... Because, like, that was kind of an unplanned. Like, he wasn't expecting them to try to use the hat to pull the darkness out.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How will four villains work together was another question that I had. And I wrote, not very well, really just Rumpel.
See, I actually thought this was one of the more enjoyable parts of the season.
Agreed.
Because, as I expect villains to do, they all turned on each other. Mm-hmm. And the flaw was that they all thought they could outsmart Rumpel. Now, I will say, Ursula and Maleficent get what they want in the end.
Yeah.
So, mission accomplished from their standpoint. Ursula got her voice back. Dumbass motivation. Don't get me wrong. A very wasted, pointless character.
The voice of your mother.
That she was in no way, shape, or form helpful to. Even in, like, the initial introduction, I was like, oh, those two add value. Why are you here?
Yeah. Agreed.
I thought Cruella, her story... especially with, like, how she tricks Maleficent, was fun to watch. Because, like, the villains not just turned on Rumpel, they turned on each other.
Yeah.
Ursula stabs the other ones in the back once she gets what she wants, which is, like, that's what I expect the villains to do. I thought that was fine, but we had too many.
Yeah.
Because then you throw Zelina's return in there, and it's like, holy shit, we've got a lot of villains right now. It's and then true. Lily is added to the equation. It's like, this is kind of ridiculous now.
Well, and I'm glad that they didn't try to redeem all of them. They don't redeem Cruella.
She's literally the only one not to redeem.
I know.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if we could have gotten a bit more dragon bitch.
Any dragon bitch would have been fun.
Like, I think the ending of her story is nice, but we could have had more dragon bitch leading up to it.
The ultimate ending is fine, but the journey there was not particularly impactful in a way that I think it should have been. Zelina. Great opening, like, loved her return in Heart of Gold, but then really didn't do anything for the rest of the season. That was disappointing to me. I thought Cruella was a delight every single time we saw her on screen, but not nearly enough Cruella.
Stroking her coat.
She's just everything about her, from her mannerisms to her just relentless hitting on charming. Like, she is just so unapologetic for who she is. And then the twist that she actually can't harm anyone was like, wow, that's you've been bluffing everyone for 3 decades. Well,
believe you,
which you would if you knew that character. Yeah. I mean, it was really well done on her end. But yeah, there was this needed to be a full season if you're going to have 5 to 6 villains.
Yeah, agreed.
So I had we had two big relationships. Let's ignore Rumbel because that should have been dead, and it was Outlaw Queen and Captain Swan. The Charmings are already together. So we get Outlaw Queen actually kind of resolved. Like, they're back together.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Will Regina and Robin find each other?
And they do, with a Zelina complication. Which, I kind of feel like, okay, like, mission accomplished. Check mark there. And then we get Captain Swan, which felt like we were getting a resolution Operation Mongoose. Like, that felt like we were right there. She looked longingly into his eyes, watched him die. Like, sweet, she's gonna do what we need to be done. And then she fails the moment in a catastrophic manner. Like, reverts exactly back to who she is. Can't speak up until it's a crisis. And you're like, so we're exactly where we were going into 4A?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand. For the main character, the main romance, this is not evolved at all. I guess we do get to hear her say, I love you. But that's exactly who Emma always is. In the moment of crisis, she'll say it. And then the moment they're not in crisis, well, that's not exactly what I meant.
He meant, I only love you if the world is ending.
Yes.
You're only mom and dad if the world is ending. She does consistently call them mom and dad now.
No, she doesn't. She consistently hates them this season and then calls them mom and dad after Snow gets her head rocked. Fair. I mean, like, it's too much of that. I had one more question.
I don't have any more. Go ahead.
It was, how do we fix 4B? And I mean, like, I'll talk about that later, but like, there's some things that need to be fixed.
That was your question going into the season?
Yeah. Because there were flaws that 4A caused.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, like, there was a lot of bad that I thought 4A had done damage-wise to these characters. Uh-huh. Emma in particular, Rumple to some degree. I mean, they broke Rumple's character a lot in 4A.
Really broke him.
I think they broke Belle in 4A. I think they broke Hook in 4A. And so I was like, well, okay, can they kind of... I guess I should say, can 4B fix these characters?
Yeah.
Fixing 4B. I don't know. I don't really know what my answer to that is. They kind of did in some ways and kind of didn't.
I think that one thing that they did is give Henry a more central role, and that was one of my favorite parts of the season.
He didn't feel central to this season to me at all.
At the very end, he does. To the end.
Operation Mongoose, 100%, he's a piece of it. But I only recall him, because I didn't even think we talked about, like, he shows up one episode.
He's not in all the episodes.
No. Well, even when he's in there, he's like a damsel, or he's just there.
He gets kidnapped by Cruella.
Well, that's the damsel one, but like when Lily comes back, I think he just is there, but doesn't actually say a word. But yeah, I do like that it has set him up going forward. Yeah, the other ones, we talked about that more, but like, I don't know that Rumple felt like they fixed his character.
They did not fix Rumple's character at all.
I think in many ways, this season actually kind of harmed Regina's character as far as the growth that I thought we had shown. Like, I think she progresses and backslides, which is a strange for her character, especially in regards to what she does to Belle. Hook does not seem to have learned any of the lessons from 4A. Like, this dumb motherfucker is his fame. We definitely backslid on the Charmings. Like, they felt much better coming out of 4A than they do coming out of 4B. I don't know how I feel about Emma. We can talk about that more. Yeah. This my big complaint, I guess, of this season is that the things that I needed them to fix, like the town feeling alive, don't really happen. Yeah.
No, like, we don't get a lot of side characters. We get a little August, but, like...
Not much.
And, like, no Archie... Yeah. No Ruby, no Granny. Really.
We get Granny and Mongoose.
Actually,
we get Granny with Cruella when I said it kind of felt like segregation.
That's true. That's true.
But again, very fleeting. Yeah. Right? Like, we don't really dive into this. I don't even feel like we get, like, Leroy much. Mm-hmm. Like, he feels, you know, like, the town just feels hollow. Yeah.
Okay, now we recap our counts. These numbers are also a lot lower than have consistently been so.
Really?
Yeah, I only cried 3 times.
This was not a cry season, though.
Yeah, I cried twice in the finale and once in Mother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We decided to count the door that the apprentice draws as a magic beam.
For Isaac.
For Isaac.
Did we count it in 4A for Ingrid, then?
No, but we probably should have.
We probably should have been at that point.
And that's it. No Day's Ride. No should have listened to Emma. No Roger top 5 episodes.
I was thinking about that. We've always, I shouldn't say we, at some point I said we need to change it to should have listened to Emma and Hook, because there's a lot of should have listened to Hook in this season.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Actually. Your parents made a mistake, they were ashamed, and he's right. Like, you got to get over it, you can't push them away. So, like, really, Hook feels like he's right most of the season, but he's also really nothing more than a background character for all but one episode, so.
Yeah. Winners and losers, you had a more even spread than you usually do, which is, you're usually real heavy on the Rumple Regina front.
And the villain, usually, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Interestingly, you don't have any, well, okay, you have Rumple at 4.
Reasonable.
I have him at 3, so yeah.
He's also the villain of this season.
Yeah. You have Zelina at 3, and so do I.
Reasonable.
You have Henry at 3. I think I probably had him at 2. And you have Regina at 3, which I also have.
And that kind of makes sense. Like, if I think about the people who were central, Henry at the end is very central. And he has some moments where he gets some stuff. Regina, she has... Yeah, no, I think that all tracks.
I'm not sure why this is the case, but the only Queen of Darkness that I have is Ursula at 3.
Because she gets her voice back? Wait, you have 3 for Ursula?
Yeah, because I think several times she wins along with... I think I have 2 for Cruella and Maleficent, and then... because Ursula wins in her standalone episode, and Cruella doesn't.
I think we disagreed on that one.
Okay.
But I hear you. Yeah, I that does make sense, your explanation. I will say that for as irrelevant as she felt, I'm shocked that she got three victories.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember like a standout episode for her other than her backstory.
Let me see if I can. Okay, so we both chose her in the first episode.
But we said the Queens of Darkness.
Yeah, we didn't choose Maleficent, though. Just Cruella.
She's not there. One. Yeah, that's fair.
And then I have her in the second episode as well. When they resurrect Maleficent, you only have Maleficent and Cruella.
Yep.
And then we both have her as the winner of her own episode.
Which is reasonable. She gets her voice back. Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's interesting. I think her... Why is my magical spreadsheet broken, Roger?
I don't blame me. I never touch it.
I have Maleficent 4 times.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I had a hard time believing Maleficent. Because, like...
You heard 3 times.
You gave her a win in an episode that I didn't even agree with that she deserved the win. And then you gave her the win in the one I thought she got the win. So I knew she had to be more than 2.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have her 4 times.
Okay. That makes more sense. Oh. Yeah. I mean, this season, because of how many characters there were, other than, like, Rumple, who feels like he's a part of every single episode, and, like, Regina... I kind of expected them to be spread out more. I think the thing that is shocking to me, and this might be the first time it's ever happened, you don't have Emma winning a single episode. Based on what I'm looking at right now, 4B shows Chelsea Emma winner 0. Yep,
that's accurate. I only had her winning once in 4A.
Sure.
And... I have her a winner 6 times in season 1.
Yeah, six times.
She's not a big winner for me otherwise. She's like middle of the pack, like along with everybody else.
Yeah, but there's a big difference between like twice and 0.
That's true. That is true.
For the, I think most people acknowledge that like Emma is supposed to be the main character, and not a single episode did we go, yeah, you came out of here the winner.
You're the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your big loser was Snow. You have her 4 times. I only had her 2 times. I'm not sure why, but... Yeah,
same.
You have Charming 3 times, and I also have him 2. We both have Regina 3 times.
3's across the board for Regina. 3 wins for both of us, 3 losses for both of us.
You have Emma as a loser 3 times. I don't know how many times I chose Emma as a loser.
Once, I think. You usually don't choose Emma as a loser.
And then I have Belle 2.
I have Belle 1. Mm-hmm. I think it's the episode where Rumple tricks her.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to talk about missed opportunities. You probably have a ton. I tried to limit myself. I only have 4.
I have 4, but they have subpoints. 4 asterisks.
Of course. Of course you do. Would you like to go first?
Sure. So, I mentioned this, but I understand you can't bring back Neil in real life. There is no excuse not to bring back that character within the story of Operation Mongoose and let him and Henry have, like, a fun adventure together. And I think it would have been more poignant if you see Emma basically having to sacrifice Neil as well. Like, this isn't real, but I did love him, and I have to let him go, because also Hook has died in this, so it's actually a flip of what happened in real life. So I need to get back to Hook, and I have to basically tell Henry, we have to say goodbye to your father. And we could have actually gotten Neil making the sacrifice that we believe that they were trying to give him in 3, could have gotten an operation.
That's a really good one.
So that should have happened. I also don't buy that Rumple's happy ending doesn't involve Neil. So, like, that to me is just stupid on its face. Like, Neil should have been back. Rumple's had his happy life, but it's all fake. And he's willing to do whatever the hell it takes to keep him with Belle and him with Neil. That makes more sense to me. And also, like, I'm trying to think, did Henry ever get a true episode with Neil? There's times where Neil's going to save him, but I feel like we never get, like, we get a Henry and Charming episode together. We get a Henry and Emma, plenty of episodes.
Definitely not a full episode. Like, we get them, like, you know, hanging out at the diner or, like, playing at the park or whatever, but not as a, like, full episode.
Not a full, like...
They don't want an adventure.
There's no father and son, and this was the great time to do it. And it could have been, like, a farewell to that character.
Well, and I also, there could have, we talked about this when we were discussing it during the episode. I understand the rule of magic that you cannot bring back a dead person. And it there's no reason that they couldn't have brought back like an amalgamation, like some sort of like almost Neil, and everyone sort of like feels it
yeah.
and realizes that it's not real.
But even because all of these characters don't have their memories, bringing Neil back as simply a character in the story still fits. It's only Emma and Henry know what's going on.
Yeah.
So as far as the Golden Knight and the Evil Queen know, this is just the character they've always known. And then, of course, Emma would know, hey, this isn't real. I know you're dead. Yeah. And then him sacrificing himself, saying, okay, we'll get back to reality. Totally a good ending. And he talks about it. Like, it would be one thing if we just made this up. Henry talks about, I want my dad back. And then we get that, like, unfortunately, we can't undo what has been done in real life. Yeah, that was a huge missed opportunity, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think this is a big one that we probably both have. I guess this one has sub bullets for me, too. Killing the Queens of Darkness and or redeeming them immediately.
I have misuse of the Queens of Darkness. Yes. That's my next point. So, yeah.
I don't think that the way that Cruella's story ended was wrong. I just think that we needed more Cruella and it should have lasted longer. I don't know that we got enough Ursula to care about her redemption arc.
I would have rather you push Ursula off the cliff.
Yeah.
Nothing of value is lost.
And Maleficent, I also, like, I'm okay with how her story ended, but I needed more. Like, I needed more of, like, Maleficent being a badass dragon bitch.
Of the three, Maleficent is the only one that felt like she had a beginning, middle, and end. I wanted more of it, but at least it felt like we got it resolved.
Yeah.
I actually think the misuse of Cruella is containing her to this season.
Oh, yeah.
She is such a delight that she would have been fun to pop up kind of like twice every season, and every time they banish her, and then she finds a way back just to cause havoc. And then the bluff that, in fact, she actually really can't kill people would have been even more wild.
Totally.
Because she's just too fun. Like, she is, like, as you said, a delight on screen. She's really good. What is it? Ennui. How she's just always so exasperated by things. Ursula really had no business being in this season. Like, a total waste of time. The other one that I'm throwing in here is, like, Zelina's return was awesome. Great twist. Really fun. Loved how she backed Rumpel into the corner. And then, honestly, the rest of it was her just being pregnant.
Yeah.
That, to me, felt like
a waste.
She felt defeated by Regina's big plan to do nothing.
Uh-huh.
That is not interesting. That is such a waste of, you backed the Dark One into a corner and got away with it. I want to see this character shine on screen. You're just in a jail cell with Nurse Ratched now. And you've got a baby. That, I guess, to some people, that is a very interesting triangle, but I don't care.
Yeah, agreed.
Also, one more thing on Maleficent, sorry. They even called out in an episode when Maleficent says, you don't actually need those two, you just need me.
Yeah.
You literally on screen told us they don't matter.
We just needed them to resurrect me, and that was it.
And the big twist of this season was the Charmings, what they had done. Maleficent talks to them twice. When she comes back from the dead initially and at the very end. Why weren't we getting 5 to 6 conversations of Maleficent being like, oh, look, it's the so-called heroes.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that more with the Charmings later, but like, and she didn't even spend that much time with Lily in this season.
She really doesn't. But, I mean, Lily is pretty boring.
Yeah, but Lily is boring because she's positioned with Emma. Lily with Maleficent wouldn't be boring because Maleficent teaching her how to be a dragon would have been fun
to
see.
That's true.
It's just that Lily is supposed to be, what is she? She's forever tied together with Emma.
Yeah. Except.
But not.
We're never going to talk about it
again. Ever. We'll never see her again. Which means maybe we never see Emma again. American dream.
I have a point of order, which is that my spreadsheet is not broken. I, for some reason, just didn't list Maleficent as a name, because I assumed I didn't add her for the new season, because I assumed that we already had her from before. So my spreadsheet's not broken. I just wanted
we to didn't pick her in Tiny Black Unicorn. Wow.
Well, she loses.
I know, but then you would have had to add the name.
Oh, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm pretty sure we picked her as a loser.
There might be just like a bigger loser in that episode that we're not remembering.
Possible. Well, I mean, Henry Sr. I think dies, so it could have been him. Okay, that's fair.
So
that's a good point of order.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's your next?
My next one is one that you surely have. Not making heroes and villains a half season.
Oh, you mean making it a half season was the missed opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. It should have been the entirety of 4.
Yeah. There was a lot to explore there, and we really only get it for like one episode. I know it's 2 episodes, but then we like go back to Storybrooke. There was so much there. Like, I needed to see more of like Rumpel being a hero and Snow Dark Snow was so great. I wanted to know more about Regina, as because essentially they just made her Snow White.
They just flipped them.
Yeah. But they did give Snow and Charming like a slightly different backstory. It still relies on the like Regina told a lie, but like
it's Regina and the Huntsman.
Right.
That's the backstory.
I guess that's the backstory. But I liked that they incorporated James and they like made it that like their punishment is that Snow's true love is dead and now she sees this like carbon copy of him, but he's not the same.
It is Regina and Daniel and the Huntsman.
Yeah.
What we needed was 4A to be essentially what Heroes and Villains, what 4B was, and then 4B needed to be the entirety of that. And then, like, imagine an episode where you get to see good Cora, and she's murdered by evil Ava, who's the fairy, and then we actually get to see, like, Cora was actually great to young Regina, and, like, all of the inverse. Like, it would have been fun to basically redo those origin stories, but with this psychotic twist.
Yeah.
Rumpel's backstory isn't that he's a coward this time, or maybe it is, but maybe it's in a different way. Like, uh-huh. It just would have been fun to see that instead of just kind of compressing it into 1.5 episodes, maybe.
Well, and I think we could have spent a lot more time with Henry as the lead.
Yes.
Because he sort of immediately goes to find Emma and Regina, which, mm-hmm. I mean, makes Fair. Sense. Like, yeah. He's a kid. He's looking for his mom's.
Yeah.
But we could have spent more time with him, like, having to figure out how to do that. Because Henry's smart. Like, mm-hmm. he, like, plans things out. He figured out how to get into the book. He found the author, etc. But all of that just sort of, like, happens. Yes. We don't get to, like, watch it happen.
Also, here are the characters, and this is not all of them, but some of the characters we don't get to see that would have been fun. Cruella. A good Cruella would have been fun. Ursula.
Uh-huh.
Cora. Leopold. Henry Sr. The Genie. Big personalities who could have inverted them, but because it's so meh, you just don't have enough time.
George.
Oh my God, like a good, benevolent King George.
Well, I'm like watching the story of like George be nice
mm-hmm.
and charming also, like having like Charming is still a hero, sort of. He's just like had his heart taken and is like being forced to be his evil twin brother.
Yeah. Or like Abigail is the bratty girl that we thought she was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Could have imagine Charming's mom is a monster. Like it would have been super fun.
A demonic wooden puppet boy.
Imagine Malcolm was actually a good father. And yet while they inverted damn near everyone, Robin Hood basically didn't change. He's just in love with Marion.
Yeah.
It just replaces Zelina for Marion. No, Zelina is basically the same character.
I want a new blue
one. I want it now! And then I guess my biggest piece of Operation Mongoose, because you and I kind of debated this, but like if Isaac's intent was he was actually screwing everyone over, like they're all trapped in this curse, I kind of wish it had been a little bit more explained. Like I got there, but I think it should have been that like I'm the only one who's getting my own happy ending. The rest of you are trapped in here to help me get fame, which I would have been fine with because then he becomes our ultimate villain. But it's kind of like you kind of had to infer it based on how the characters react. But it just needed to be longer. I mean, this basically was no different than Shattered Sight. You just got an extra half episode.
Agreed.
And that was disappointing. What's your last one?
I have two more.
Go.
They mishandled a great deal of this, but I'm going to go with a missed opportunity. not talking about the darkness in Snow and Charming earlier. Especially like when we had the opportunity to talk about it when Snow kills Cora.
Like, I mean, I've been screaming about this for 2 seasons. Well, like, what happened to Heart of Darkness? What happened to Heart of Darkness?
I just don't. This is just so, like, the act is so horrendous. And I understand that they didn't think that what ultimately happened, like, they didn't think it was a baby. They didn't think it ultimately, but, like,
but it was a baby.
Olympus's baby.
Yeah, I mean,
They thought that it was a monster. Like, they thought it was going to be a dragon. But I don't know why they wouldn't assume that the woman that can turn from a human to a dragon has a baby that can also turn from a human to a dragon.
I don't... There are a few things in this show that happen that I really think you kind of just have to ignore. One of them is the thing that we often argue about the energy later on. This is one of those things that, like, for the Charmings to make sense, you just have to pretend like they never did this.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't fit the show. It doesn't fit the characters. It doesn't even fit the, like, what you were going to gain out of this isn't enough to take this kind of action. Even if they were just going to kidnap it, drop the darkness in there, and bring it back, that's still fucked up. Like, that is fundamentally wrong to be kidnapping a baby. And that isn't something I expect from the new. Now, Regina, Rumple, yeah, those are characters that I buy do this. But, like, the Charmies have never shown that level of selfishness, really, to be quite honest. Like, most of the time, they do the opposite. I think they make the selfish choice to not kill Regina and because they believe they can reform her. And then, magically, in 4B, they go, like, fuck it. All we care about is making sure our daughter is good.
Yeah, it doesn't...
We threw away their character for that?
Our daughter has the potential to be good. With our guidance, which she's going to lose because we're going to put her through a wardrobe. I also don't know... I could have also bought that they never mentioned this act specifically before. Like, we learn what it is in this season. But we needed to see them doing things that seem irrational to other people to try to, like, redeem themselves. Like, why are you being so nice to Maleficent? Like, why are you trying to help her so much? Because we, I mean, you just said we see them try to redeem Regina, but we know why. Mm-hmm. We know why
Snow feels guilty.
Regina. And we just never, we never get any of that.
I could have also dealt with when people make terrible mistakes, the Charmies go, we've been there. You don't have to tell me, but yeah. Like, you could have at least inferred that, like, everyone assumes that we're perfect because that is their assumption, right? I've said even before, Charming always makes the right choice. It would have been nice to know that, like, I usually make the right choice. Sometimes I fucked up. I have a deep regret. But we never really get any sort of, like, lead into that. And then all of a sudden, we're just supposed to believe they've been holding this terrible secret for all this time.
Well, and actually, especially in relation with Snow and Regina,
mm-hmm.
like, that conversation that they have in the episode where Cora's ghost comes back.
Bleeding through, yeah.
Yeah. Snow, like, Regina is, like, really opening up to Snow about, like, how hard it is. And Snow says fucking nothing. She talks about trying to kill Regina's mother.
Yeah.
But, like, as you have said, like, Cora was trying to kill all of them. Like, this act is so much more horrific than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too far. Like, I don't buy that they would do this. I never really bought it. It was a fun little mystery to be like, oh, I wonder what they did that they're so ashamed of. But as we got through it, I was just like, nah. These are not the characters that you've established that I buy they would ever take this action. Not when these characters have basically almost always chosen something far more difficult and been like, we take the right path. I don't believe they'd take this shortcut. Well, not for this reward.
It actually would have been a lot more interesting to explore unintentional consequences in this situation. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think they kind of try to do that with, like, oh, we thought it was a dragon monster. And it's like, okay, well, it's still her dragon monster.
And Isaac manipulated them.
Right. But I think that the more interesting thing would have been, you know, like, something happened and we'd sent people to kill Maleficent because she was trying to kill whatever. And then her baby accidentally died.
Sure.
Like, yes. That would have been, like...
collateral damage.
And then they sort of have to deal with, like, oh, we harmed an innocent because we thought we were doing the right thing, and it wasn't right, and we need to fix it. But it wasn't, like, they intentionally were like, oh, we're just gonna murder this baby, it's fine.
Or play off the idea Regina talks about, like, you're leaders, and you have to make the call that someone loses.
Yeah.
So they made the call, and maybe they felt justified that, like, we needed to protect the kingdom. We just didn't anticipate that your baby would get caught up in the crossfire, and now we try to atone for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we don't do it. And in the present day, they don't resolve it. I mean, we get a kind of a weak-ass apology towards the end, but it felt very consolation bride. Kind of. I mean, very much like that. And it was more so that, like, well, Emma won't forgive us. Maybe you will get... It felt more about the Charming getting their absolution than actually making atonement for
them. I believe that they're sorry, but I believe that they're sorry because they don't want to be bad people, not because they are genuinely sorry that they hurt Maleficent.
I feel like they're sorry they got caught.
Yeah.
I think if you gave them the option to erase everyone's memory, they would, and they move on.
Well, I don't think that they would have felt sorry at all if what they thought was going to happen had actually happened.
Agreed.
Because they borrowed the egg, the darkness went into the egg, they gave the egg back to Maleficent.
I also don't think they would have been sorry had it worked. Like, had Emma been incapable of darkness, I think they, like, Snow justifies it. Like, that goodness is why we did what we did. So she even makes the, like, justification that, like, well, yeah, but we were right to do it. You'll have to forgive me, my cat has decided to join the podcast, and I think he is now just going to walk around our entire setup because he's a cat.
He's also not the friendliest of cats, so I'm afraid to touch him.
He's friendly to me. Oh, look, he laid back down. He's a good boy.
Good boy.
Okay, I have one more.
So do I. I should go first because We're going to argue about mine.
You sure you should go first or should you go last and we close with that?
Go ahead.
Okay. My last one is, while I love the premise of heroes and villains, ultimately, at the end of the half season, everything reset back to the way it was, with the exception of the Dark Savior.
Uh-huh.
We did not progress forward at all. The Charmings went backwards as far as, like, they're not good people like we thought. They don't really do anything to atone for it. Who else's character goes forward? Henry gets
Regina
to be...
Regina is the only person that goes forward.
But she goes forward and backwards.
But it's also, like...
And did she go forward or did she get what she wanted?
She got what she wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I think the Regina in Operation Mongoose, that's the first time we actually see her make a savior move. That was, like, a big deal. But that was the memories of a different person. Right. And so, like, Regina did it and Henry got her there. But that wasn't the Regina that we know. Okay. And I still don't know if current day Regina is willing to make that move. I mean, I guess she kind of doesn't too. But Rumpel is right back where he was. Belle is right back where she was. Hook is literally right where he was. The Charmings, they reset everything with Emma. They're right back where they were. What's changed? Like, we went a half season. I don't know much has changed.
Yeah.
For an entire thing about, I guess Robin now has a baby to deal with Zelina, and Zelina's back, but he's just back with Regina. It feels like we didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, the characters didn't really grow much.
Not really.
That's mostly what the show is usually about.
Typically, yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
And the big thing that bothered me on this is that I think there was an excellent opportunity at the end of the season for the Charmings to finally atone for what they had done, which, and it still could have tied into your point of, like, you liked how they kind of closed the loop with Emma and Regina. I think you could have closed that loop by saying that, like, Emma got Regina to being a savior, loop closed, darkness attacks Lily, the Charming Joe, this is our fault in the first place, let us be the ones who tether it, and then say, Emma, we know you'll find us, and the Charmings disappear. Because they don't even have a story that I'm interested in going forward, and this could be, like, them dealing with the darkness, especially because they share a heart, would be fascinating. Emma trying to find her parents, and then regretting how she felt about them the whole season, would have been interesting to deal with. Hell, Emma and Hook having to take care of baby Neil, that's some funny.
That would totally be funny.
That's some fun. And like Henry. And Henry. So it's like there was a lot of opportunity and we missed it because we kind of like pigeonholed ourselves into the story.
Who's Neil? Who's baby Neil? Who has a baby? What happens to him when they go into Heroes and Villains?
I think that's Rumpel's baby. We talked about this, yeah. That was the twist that the author gave him. Like, I can give you Neil, it's just not your Neil.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wanted it for something that big, especially when it comes to the Charmings, you needed to have a big resolution for sacrificing their characters like that, and all we get was sorry? Or I forgive you, mommy. I don't care. I just wanted more.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's reasonable.
All right, what are we gonna argue about?
We've argued about this before. I needed to see Ultimate Rumpel, like super dark, unhinged Rumpel, or...
Oh, okay, I was like, why would we argue about
that? I needed to see this, Rumpel not being the villain here. Like, Rumpel working with the heroes to figure out how to get the darkness out of his heart. Like, I think that would have been an interesting story. It would be very different than the Rumpel we know, but it would have been a return to the Rumpel that we saw at the end of 3A. That we erased.
I think, so I kind of alluded to this. I think if Henry's life was on the line, like the darkness was coming for Henry, I think you could have logically pulled them all together. Because he is the thing that they all have a stake in, right? Rumpel does care about Henry. All of them care about Henry.
What happens to the darkness when the Dark One dies? It goes to his nearest relative?
Or it goes after the heart of the truest believer. Like, just the idea that, like, he is the threat. Like, we can even reference Pan. Like, hey, we saw what Pan was able to do. Do we want the Dark One to get both the youth of Henry and the heart of the truest believer, where his power becomes unstoppable since he's the product of the, you know, greatest love and greatest evil? Yeah, that's, I think, a fine story. I think with the absence of Henry, though, like, if it's Emma, I don't think that works. I also thought that we were getting Civil War. Like, they referenced that. Like, there's a Civil War coming to Storybrooke. We never really got that.
Yeah. We never saw, like, a battle in the streets.
I don't even like a battle in the streets. Like, I would have liked to see five heroes and five villains plotting against one another.
You're telling me that you don't want to see...
I mean, I do want to see it, but this show's...
Snow White and all of her singing birds attacking her because Cruella made them.
You know what actually would have been more interesting as a Civil War? Dark Snow versus Good Snow. Dark Charming versus Good Charming. Mr. Gold versus the Golden Knight. Like, give me the heroes and villains from the book, get out of the book, and now they have to fight. So now you could actually bring all of Storybook together.
That would be true torture. Yeah. You are hunted by yourself.
Well, and also, it would be interesting to see how they would interact with one another. Because, you know, like, Charming has faced James. So that's basically Dark Charming. Snow has never seen a dark version of herself. So, like, that could, especially with the Charming seeing that and then having to absorb the darkness, they'd be like, we can't be these people because they're monsters. I think Rumpel and the Golden Knight would be a hilarious conversation where he's like, look at you pretending to be good. I don't think you're wrong. I think we needed an extreme on both ends. We either need to go all the way dark, or we need him to say, I need your guys' help. Yeah. We all need to work together. And we didn't get either.
No.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we just end with him in a coma.
We get the coma one.
Yeah. The one with the coma.
That is not how I thought a season that talks about happy endings and the author and all these great villains was going to end with, like, the worst resolution possible.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right, we go costumes now. I don't have a lot here, and most of them are Maleficent.
You don't get a ton of... Oh, really? You don't have anything from the...
No, I have a few other things. Okay, gotcha. But most three of them are Maleficent.
Fair enough. How many do we have in total?
Five-ish.
Okay.
Maleficent's costume in episode 14, Unforgiven, I love her dresses, her like tight fitting black dresses. I even like the super raggedy one that she wears in Enter the Dragon. Like, it's like, oh, you've been wearing this dress for a really long time and you just like do drugs here.
When she's drugging herself into like a kind of a sleeping curse. Yeah.
I also really like her like 1940s style outfits, specifically that sweet ass dragon brooch that she wears. It's awesome.
You think that was an allusion to, hey, Zelina's coming back?
Oh, I don't know. I think Zelina...
Because it's not the same exact era, but I remember in that episode thinking, this reminds me of how Zelina...
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I also really like Emma's cool heroes and villains outfit. It's, like, simple. Mm-hmm. It's, like, it's got a... Not the weird... The dress.
Yeah. Not the drink, not the chain dress. Like, you like her, like, outfit with
flavor.
I think that was a good outfit, yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, simple. We don't usually get to see her wear stuff like that.
I can't think of any time we get to it.
Because the only time we see her wearing not, like, real people clothes is in Snowdrifts, and she wears a dress for most of the time.
Yeah.
And this is, like, what I think Emma would choose to wear if she lived in the Enchanted Forest.
And the date, I guess, where she wears that god-awful pink dress.
Yep. And the last one I have is just, like, Cruella. Just, like, all of Cruella. Like, Cruella's entire costume. The stroking of the coat. I love watching her make the coat. I think my favorite is when she gets splashed with the ink and it, like, makes her eyebrows and her hair all crazy. Like, it's great. I love it so much.
She's a blood diamond. One from Heroes and Villains. I love Snow in the evil costume.
Oh, yeah.
I know she doesn't fill it out the way Regina does, but it was like, what the fuck?
What am I wearing?
Yeah. It has a very one-of-a-kind feel to it. And then, yeah, definitely I liked Cruella's costume back in her flashback, that, like, 1920s vibe to it.
Uh-huh.
Especially when you find out that she's cursed to be kind of in this infinite time.
They did a really good job of making her look younger.
They really did. Oh, it's amazing what hair and some makeup can do.
I know, I need one of those.
Don't we all?
All right. Top five lines. I feel like we have to stop calling it this. I have less than I usually do, but I definitely have more than five.
Let's see. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 characters.
I have 6 characters.
And 1 non-character.
Okay. Great.
Why don't you start and I'll cross mine off.
Okay. Let's start with... Well, you'll want to end with that. Let's start with Isaac.
I have 6 for the Isaac.
Roger, that's embarrassing. You were supposed to choose your favorite.
They're all my favorite. I don't want to choose my children, okay? Leave me alone.
All right, I have 1
Go ahead.
For Isaac.
Yeah.
very clear goals plus totally damaged personality with a self-destructive streak. Like, a perfect description of Regina. And I love how he's just sort of, like, he thinks of everything in terms of, like, narrative structure and character development.
That is fair. That's a great line. I actually didn't even put that one, but that was fantastic. I kind of figured you'd have that. Two from when he's dealing with Henry in Heroes and Villains. You don't have to be faster than the ogre. You just need to be faster than the next guy. And then when he comes back, please be dead. Please be dead. Please be dead.
That was really good acting.
It was so, like, childish desperation from, like, our big bad villain. But again, he's more smarmy, not, like, overpowered. Really loved that. I can't believe you don't have... Well, the pin is mightier than everything.
That's a good one. That feels... I didn't like it as much as this one, though, so I stuck with that. I didn't feel important enough to have more than one line to me.
Oh, okay. I didn't put the quote, but basically his fond words about Cruella after they died, because I thought that was really nice.
And he kept that napkin.
Yeah. Because it shows how much, like, a complicated history between two villains. I really liked when he said there was no room for a savior in my world.
Oh, uh-huh.
That's how I feel about Once Upon a Time and a savior. There's really no room for her. But then I think the one that is the best is when he says, I learned a lesson from you, Cruella. Take what a person loves and destroy it.
That's a good one.
Absolutely fantastic.
I have one from Cora.
I do too.
Because it just felt very fitting. Mm-hmm. The only one standing in the way of your happiness is you.
Very Regina.
Very Regina.
Though not appropriate for that episode.
No, I mean, the flashback belonged elsewhere, but it was a good flashback.
It was a good flashback. It was just out of place. I think the one I really liked is you think it's strong to hurt yourself.
Uh-huh.
Because it is quintessential Regina that she would cut off her face to spite her face.
Yeah. Speaking of Regina, I said we needed to meet covertly, and now I see you brought the entire charming softball team and their pirate mascot.
I cut that one out, but I did like that one.
It's like, it's so funny.
It's true.
And it is like, Regina is like, you idiots, like, what are you doing?
That's why I refer to them as the idiots.
Yeah.
Do you want to do all Regina, or do you want to bounce back and forth? Okay.
Two more for Regina. How many do you have? 12?
6. I cut down a lot of Regina lines. The one from the flashback with Maleficent at the end, she's talking to Rumple, and he goes, how did you get home so quick? On the back of the dragon, how else?
That's a good one.
She says it so nonchalantly, he's just like, yeah, that makes sense. I love the one, and you, I guess, because having spent time in Massachusetts, why did I bother creating Storybrooke when it could have just cursed everyone to live here?
I almost wrote that one down, and I liked these other two better, but that's a good one.
When she refers to Cruella and Ursula as fish sticks and pound puppy.
Should have known fish sticks and pound puppy were here for more than a second chance. I have that one too.
I mean, just what a great burn.
And, like, fitting for their sort of, like, ineptitude at being villains.
These two are, one of these is really funny, one of these is kind of like, a bit whiny, but funny. Well, is there a dwarf named Evilly? Obviously, it's coming for me. And then, can we drop the E word already?
Oh yeah, that's a really good one.
Very Karen-like to me, when that whole thing was like, the K word is like, shut the fuck up. You've been called the Evil Queen for a reason.
It's your name.
It's your name.
I suppose we should go out and see what's killing property values.
That was my top Regina line.
I mean, this is, it's funny, yeah. But also, like, in the context of the show, it's like, god damn, Storybrooke, like, are we just gonna keep destroying,
yes,
Doc's Miata, like, over and over again?
Every time. There was a show that didn't last long on, NBC called, like, Powerless, I think it was called. And it was Vanessa Hudgens and some other people, but it was basically set in, like, the DC universe, but normal characters trying to deal with, like, the after effects of all the battles.
Oh, that's so cool.
So, like, one of them...
My favorite part of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, that premise where it's like, okay, so my car got crushed by Wonder Woman. Well, does insurance cover that? I'm not sure. She's a demigod, so it's kind of an act of God. and it's just like, it's good, sensible, realistic humor, but set in a ridiculous world.
Yeah.
Adam West, I think his last appearance actually before he passed away, because he is he's playing Bruce Wayne's like grandfather or something. Like
okay.
That. Yeah, no, I would love a version of that in Once Upon a Time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, where they're like, God damn it! We just are always constructing things, because we're always blowing stuff up. Like,
I mean, we do kind of get that Mary Margaret saying, well, you don't have much time for infrastructure when the... Or you have more time for infrastructure when the only villain you're dealing with is yourself.
And I feel like Regina's been like, yeah, but there's a lot of stuff to build.
It's true.
Where next?
All right, I've got Rumple, Cruella, and Zelina left.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to hit my one Henry one.
Okay.
We actually argued about this, but I thought the line was very meaningful when he snaps the pen and says no one should have that much power. I think it's more meaningful because he had already expressed it, like, I want my dad back.
Uh-huh.
But he's actually, unlike his grandfather, able to resist the temptation. And even, unfortunately, like his father at the end, he resists the urge to change what he can't control.
Uh-huh.
And just says, I don't need that kind of power either. I have three from The Apprentice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. While I kind of didn't like it at the time, it made a little bit more sense when I thought about it, when he's talking to Lily and says, you are actually not as responsible for your own misery as you believe. Because I do think it was appropriately assigning blame to the fact that, like, you kind of got fucked from the beginning.
Yeah.
Now, your bad decisions that you made after that were still a problem, but, like, this wasn't entirely your fault.
You're, like, predisposed to make bad decisions.
Yes, yeah, you're playing at a disadvantage. The author must never be allowed to toy with fate again. It was a great setup that we really don't necessarily explore a ton.
Uh-huh.
But I like the idea of, like, he's toying with fate, that's a real problem. And then I thought the line that he hits Henry with, which is, your father died in the real world, and sadly that can never be undone, because I just want Neil back, God damn it! And it, but it's true, he's not coming back.
Yeah.
So. I have characters that you surprisingly don't have on this one, but we can do that in between. So
okay.
Where do you want to go? I bet your Zelina lines are exactly as mine, so why don't we do that?
I only have one.
I'm very curious. I have three.
I was hard to choose.
Yeah.
And you know, no one's been the wiser. Not her husband, not even her child. She's as dead as, well, your son. I suppose that means you never avenged his death. You failed.
Oops.
I think that is my favorite moment of the season.
It's up there.
Like, she was brilliant in that scene.
Yeah. I'm not going to do the full quote, but basically when she's got Rumple's breathing tube,
uh-huh,
and she backs him into a corner, and basically it ends with, do we have a deal? So what do you think if we do? Simply blink.
That's a really good one.
And you see the look on his face where he wants nothing more than to tell her to fuck off, but his only choice is to accept the deal. Great, great work. Oh, I'm sorry. I had four. I missed one. This one's actually pretty quick. I haven't done anything except love and honor him in sickness and in health, to have and to hold and all that other wifey nonsense. A level of disgust that I appreciate that's how Zelina feels about the situation. Like, yeah, I've been doing it, but ugh. I actually really liked the one that when she basically reveals that she came back, and I won't do the whole quote, but I like the, for a few careless moments, they left her unattended, and that was all I needed. I killed her, and then I became her. I took her form. You know, it wasn't easy not being me, but knowing that it would ruin Regina's happiness, I mean, that made it worth every dull moment in her body. If you ask me, how do you personify petty?
Yeah.
Bam.
Petty.
That thing's petty as...
Petty.
I still need a question answered. Were you in on it with the Snow Queen, or did you almost die for this pettiness? Just, that's all I'm asking here.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Those are all good. I know we usually save Rumple for last, but...
I don't need to save Rumple for last.
Yeah.
I have six.
I have two.
Okay. Hoping you'll cross two of mine off.
I don't know why. I like the way that this was delivered, and like the idea of it is just so cool. Her dragon flame burns so hot, but there's one tree still on fire half a lifetime later. Like, Rumple, like, kind of sounds impressed.
He is.
He says it.
It's what I thought of when she told Cruella, I'm going to make your death last for days.
Yeah.
You're going to burn, and you're not going to die. You're just going to burn. What you want to save your other one for the end? You want to do it now?
Friendly warning, you don't want to face the dark one when there's no one else at home. I almost didn't include it because I'm annoyed that we like didn't get to see it, but it's still a great line.
I have the line on there, but for the same, like, well, what happens when no one else is home? I really liked Rumple at his lowest telling the Queens of Darkness, my entire salvation relies not on you trusting me, but me trusting you.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Because it's true.
Uh-huh.
And then right after that, when they're walking through town and he's come back in and he's basically become the Dark One, he points out that, like, look at what I was able to do at my lowest point with nothing, and I still got it done. Now imagine what I can do when I have my power. Thought that was really good. Oh, I only had 5. I apparently duplicated 1.
You liked it so much.
I liked it so much. He's talking to the Queens of Darkness after he's gathered, I think, the curse. And he goes, well, I'm leaving with my prize, and you're about to die. Such a, like, all right, bye. This is maybe a line that I think you could apply to the entire show. The person who is consumed with vengeance is easy to manipulate. Yeah, he is talking about someone else, but he's also referencing Regina a lot in that.
Uh-huh.
Because that's why he was able to manipulate her so well.
Hook.
And Hook, yeah. But Hook wasn't as consumed with vengeance when he blackmailed him. He was consumed with whatever he needed his hand for. But yes, the principle is the same.
To hold Emma with 2 hands instead of 1.
And that's why Charming has vengeance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't have as many rumple lines as I usually do.
I mean, there were a lot of good ones, yeah. But I was trying to be judicious about the ones I chose.
Yeah.
But I would like to end with Cruella.
I also would like to end with Cruella.
Okay, what else you got?
Okay, I have an Emma line.
Whoa!
Shocking. It's a line from the Operation Mongoose. It's when she's talking to Regina, and they get it right. And Regina says, like, a man is not my happiness. She goes, of course not. But love is part of that happiness, and you have to be open to that. The point being that, like, you can't just shut that door.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to accept any. And I, like, we've always talked about how, you know, found family, found friends. Like, it doesn't matter how you do it. It could be Hook's love of the Jolly Roger, Emma's love of her son, Regina's love of her son. Like, you can do it in multiple different ways. Maleficent has 2 really good lines. And I don't know if they're similar or not, but it's one of them is, I'm going to revel in every torturous moment. But the one I really love, which I already mentioned, your death is going to last. Right after Cruella basically taunts her and she's like, I'm going to fucking murder you.
Yeah.
I have actually a few Charming and Snow lines. I'm really shocked you don't have any of these. So one is just Snow and Charming at the end talking to Isaac. That's what villains do. They make themselves happy at the expense of others. Which is why I think he wrote the happy ending only for himself.
Because
he made everyone else miserable. And then 4 lines from Heroes and Villains when they're bad. I think Isaac says, Snow, I'm on your side. And she responds with, technically you're at my feet. if you remember back to Snow Drifts, Hook says, like, well, what if she gets drunk? And then, like, kills one of the dwarves, and now you're down to 6. Well, funny enough, Snow White, after a kind of very brooding speech, kills Doc and says, well, now you're down to 6. Nice play on that. I really like Snow's conversation about, oh, you have hope, and I need to snuff that out of you. Because it's, like, the opposite. That's
her thing.
Yes, that is, like, her thing, always about hope, and now it's evil Snow trying to snuff it out. Right after Charming kills coward Cook. I never did like pirates.
Yeah. Very fitting.
Very fitting.
I like those.
Okay, I think I'm down to Cruella.
Okay, I only have 2. I'm sure you have both.
I guarantee I do.
I'm a really terrible person, and I left you in the woods to die.
So good.
So matter-of-factly.
Well, she actually, not even matter-of-factly, she's like, taunting her with it. She's kind of like, well, yeah, I'm a terrible person. I left your baby to die. Meh, what are you going to do about it? Which obviously, as I said, I think that was her point.
Yeah.
What's your other one?
Some people struggle not to be drawn to the darkness, but ever since I was a little girl, I thought, why not splash in and have fun?
I have the longer version of that quote because I think it was interesting because she starts with, well, that's the question on everyone's mind, isn't it? I wish I had an answer. Because she's like, well, how could you do this? And it's like, because I'm a monster. That's just who I am. Those 2 are great lines. I absolutely love them. Especially the, I just left her in the woods to die. it's an episode, it's a quote from early on, but it's really funny when someone talks about, I think they call her diamonds fake. And she's like, these are blood diamonds, I'll have you know. She is proud of the fact that she has blood diamonds, which is a great.
They call them costume jewelry.
There it is. She
says, absolutely.
How dare you? Is there a problem, Officer Chiselchin?
That was a good one.
Relentlessly hitting on Charming is, and he's so uncomfortable about it. It was just hilarious to me. Is that your last quote?
Yep.
Okay. My final quote does not come from a character in this show. Chelsea. So what should we call them? Rook? Pause? Humple? You can't see my face, but I can promise you all I was doing was just shaking my head disgustedly. Nope.
I'm honored nope. to be on your list of top five lines.
When I listened to that, I probably listened to it 20 times because you burst out laughing and I am just, no. No. I can remember it vividly.
Humble.
Yeah. Never again.
All right. Most ridiculous moment. I have 7.
At 8.
Okay. Go first.
The queens play a game of chicken called Who's Gonna Be a Hero?
Don't be a hero.
Oh, okay. Don't be a hero. I thought it was Who's Gonna Be the Hero, because I thought it's trying to play which one of us is gonna save them. But don't, I mean, it's the same premise. Look, I buy that this game of chicken was to suss out whether or not Regina still had it in her. But were y'all willing to die for this? Because, like, if I'm Regina, I poof myself away and go, all right, bitches. You. I'm good. Yeah, okay, maybe Maleficent is fine. Cruella definitely dies. And I think Ursula dies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that was...
Know, Ursula probably would have thrown out a ridiculous tentacle, which I maybe have. Yeah, oh, Ursula's man. Tentacles in general, especially when she uses them to pick something up.
She doesn't.
I know she like it's. I think it's because they're CGI, so she like has to do something to indicate that they're moving, and it like looks extra.
She throw her arm.
I know.
I'm just gonna add because one of my ridiculous was Ursula does nothing of importance all season.
Yeah.
Why? Why did you introduce this character to do nothing?
Nothing.
Like if she had never been involved in the plot, what changes? Other than Hook doesn't get his own episode.
Maybe they wouldn't have been able to resurrect Maleficent, but...
Nope, they needed Charming and Snow for that. Cruella could have done that herself.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
My first... I have... even just, like, saying this sounds ridiculous. They ask a magical tree.
Oh my God.
They put their hands on a magical tree and ask it a question. I know that this is a story about magic.
I'm less bothered that they asked the tree and more bothered that the reaction to no was a violent shove of a pregnant woman.
That's true. Not just like, eh.
Yeah. It's like, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, you could have just been like, nah, you didn't get it.
It's funny when you're like watching a show that's already ridiculous and there's something that just like pushes you over the edge. Like, what really gets me... in Finding Dory, the sequel to Finding Nemo, I understand that this entire series is a movie about fish that talk, but an octopus driving a truck is just too far for me. It's too far!
That's the line. You gotta have a line somewhere. Yeah, that... And look, like, look, it's Enchanted Forest, we're obviously doing a show on fairy tales, so, like, a magical tree isn't out of the realm of realism right. as far as the show goes. But the violent no is what got me. I was like, seems a little much. And I didn't even have that. I just thought of that when you said that. I love this episode. I really love the scheme. I don't get how Rumpel got around revealing himself by just, like, positioning himself off to the side and being like, reveal yourself, Dark One. The rules of the dagger have implied that you can't just, like, get around with a technicality. Like, there are no loopholes.
Yeah.
If she commands you to do a thing, you need to do what she asked. And he's just like, I am revealing myself off to the side where you can't see me. Then you're not revealing yourself there, Batman. Like, yeah.
That's true. That's a good one. Oh, we have a podcast visitor again.
Don't mind me.
I have this ridiculous line. It is so... It's just the delivery ridiculous, the concept ridiculous. Charming, it's a baby.
Oh yeah, that was bad. Well, isn't that also when they just stand there and do nothing?
Yeah, they do
so nothing. They realize it's a human baby and go like, "Oh no, we're gonna do nothing about it." Yeah, that was bad. That was really, really bad. Even though I understand that this was probably the easiest move, they just decided to erase Roland's memory.
Oh yeah, that's. And I still don't know how much time it was, but it was too much time to erase.
Like, okay, mommy just never came back. And, like, I get it. It's probably the only play you have, but damn, that's kind of fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Okay. I have 4 left.
I also have 4 left.
Perfect.
Why would they let Ursula and Cruella keep the scroll? Why would they let them keep it? But you let them in, you don't let them keep it.
What's weird is that they didn't, because Regina then later has the scroll.
How did she get it back?
I don't know. I really don't know. Like, maybe they stole it from her and then put it back. Because Regina has it when they leave.
It's very confusing.
Maybe they made a copy? Who knows? Operation Mongoose, big thing. She makes Hook, Emma, like a fighter. He defends her, saves her from evil Snow and Charming. She watches him die. She then tells Regina that I won't have that chance unless you save the day so I can go tell the man I love how much he means to me. And then she fails the moment.
She doesn't do it.
I don't understand. Like, it's been 4 seasons now. Get on with it already. Nope, still fails.
I simply have Emma standing staring at Rumpel and Isaac at funeral.
The stare down? The evil glare?
What were you trying to accomplish there, Emma?
You see this dark one? I'm glaring at you evilly.
You could intimidate Isaac like that.
Absolutely.
But not Rumpel.
Rumpel's just gonna, like, I think Rumpel even sees her and he's just like,
whatever.
And? What the fuck you gonna do? Use your lie detector on me? Zelina. Ultimate choose me girl. Like, literally pick me is her entire plot of 3B. Mommy pick me, Rumpel pick me, somebody pick me. Has the audacity to say another woman defining her happiness by the love of her man. You mean you?
Sure. That's a good point.
Yeah. Also, on, like, sub-point of that, we find out that Zelina actually went back in time. And you fixed nothing! That was your goal in 3B, was to go back in time. You went back in time and then decided not to actually
Didn't do anything at all.
I don't understand you, Zelina. You confuse me.
This is not Zelina's fault, but it is just the most soapy thing that has ever been written. Zelina is actually married and is pregnant with Robin's child.
I don't buy that this was the plan the whole time. Because, like I said, the ice cream story doesn't really make sense. Like, I think they kind of like, let's throw this twist in and just don't think about what happened in the past.
Yeah. That seems likely.
Yeah. I got 2.
I have 1.
Chelsea calls lying worse than murder.
Thanks. I get a best line, but also a most ridiculous moment.
Yep.
Okay. That's not exactly what I said, but okay.
Actually, I went back and listened to the episode. It actually is.
Being lied to by your partner is potentially worse than murder by a stranger.
That's ridiculous. Yep. that is. Yep. Yep.
You think it was a coincidence that I just so happened to adopt the Savior's son. Our actions are our own, but fate pushes us.
Fate is a nickname for Rumpel.
Yeah. I guess, like, those two things just don't... what are you trying to say? Is evil born or made? Like, what is happening?
I think the line hits better if, like, I didn't know that Neil was the Dark One's son and we ended up creating the Hearts of Truest Believer. That is fake. Like, we just agree that was kind of just random happenstance to some degree. You adopting the Savior's kid was, like, the plan. Like, I think we see an episode where Rumpel is actually trying to make that happen.
I disagree that was the plan, but the line that bothers me is Rumpel wasn't awake, Roger.
No. In the past, he literally says, you will come to me for a baby. We know that is his plan. He says that.
He doesn't say a baby. He says, you'll come to me to fill a hole in your heart.
Okay, it's implied that it's the baby. Sure. But we know that he is planning that Regina, he knows Regina has a hole in her heart, and that he is going to be the one asked to fill it. So however you want to say he didn't know it was a baby, I think you did.
What's your last one?
The Charmings are basically the, like, purveyors of good in the show. And we throw that away for a situation that both didn't matter, because ultimately we could just use Lily, with no resolution, also that Emma could throw a tantrum that her parents lied.
Yeah. That's bad. That's bad.
That's one of the worst choices from character development I think I've seen this show make. Like, that's just, I said this before, and that's why I have to go deep into it, but, like, I don't buy that. That's just not who the Charmings are. I think if you're going to throw that away, it needs to be higher stakes. And then, like, they focus a ton on Emma's reaction. I don't fucking care that they lie to you. You've lied to Henry. Shit happens.
A lot.
Regina's lied to Henry a lot. He got over it. It's like, the whole thing we spend all of this time like, Emma's going to go dark because we lied. And I'm like, you're 30.
Also, you like did something so that wouldn't happen.
Well, might not happen.
Right.
And then they still try to walk out their way out of it by, well, Isaac set us down this path. They even said it at the end. They're like, oh, you put us down this path. It's like, no, you already got there on your own. He may have pushed you in the right direction, but you already were there. That, to me, was a complete waste of, like, that. Undo that. Don't.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I don't think they ever reference this again. Like, I think this is, like, frozen, and it's a mistake that they just acknowledged we never talk about again.
Yeah.
But that's all my ridiculous moments.
Yeah, me too. Loser?
I got 3.
I kind of had a hard time.
I didn't.
I mean, I feel like there was a lot of... There were a lot of losers, obviously, like, by episode, but I, like, was trying to think about, like, where we are at the end and, like, who I think the ultimate loser is, and I had a hard time.
Well, I didn't, because I was just talking about them.
I have 1.
I have 3. I mean, we just talked about how we threw away their good character.
Yeah.
Snow White and Prince Charming always make the right choice, are good people, are leaders on the show. I mean, that was one of the other things I complained about. Like, we don't even get to see the town's reaction to their bad behavior.
Yeah, like, nobody knows about it, except for the people that we know.
Well, it would have been nice to see, like, hey, Snow White's going to her mother's meeting, but they're like, ooh, after what you did to Cruella's baby, we don't really want you here. Or not Cruella's baby, Maleficent's baby. Or, like, Charming, who's one of the sheriffs by decree, you know, they call him and they're like, maybe can we have Emma show up? Because we don't really trust you. And like, show that like the town has lost faith in him. I mean, you talked about in season 2, he embraced his role as a leader. Well, there should be a vote of no confidence in you after what you did. But we only focus on like Emma's reaction about it. Not even Maleficent's reaction, that's like true. The victim. I think they were huge losers and like nothing got really resolved. And I have no questions about them going forward. Like it feels like they're
still
done.
Agreed.
And that is unfortunate because I think they're both very good characters.
Same.
I don't think their acting was bad. I thought they had fun lines. They were great in Operation Mongoose.
Totally.
Huge losers, though. Like, they no longer
fool that's them. Fair.
Yeah.
I have Isaac.
Oh, interesting.
I think ultimately he was the loser here.
You always pick the villain, don't you?
That I do, probably.
I think you do. I think you asked the question, is the villain always going to lose?
I mean, there were a lot of villains here that I could have chosen, and I only chose this one.
He is the villain of the season, but sure.
I think that he knew what he wanted, and he didn't even get it for more than like 5 minutes, and he let a little boy ruin his...
That feels unfair. Calling Henry just a little boy feels like this is the boy who broke a
believer. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's able to trick Rumpelstiltskin, Prince Charming. Like, he is far more than just a little boy.
He's just, like, inept at it, though. Like, he tried to kill Henry by putting, like, in a story that he knew the end of. He knew that the Ogre Slayer kills that ogre. His name is literally the Ogre Slayer.
Now, that's fair. I got an argument for that.
And yeah, he doesn't get what he wants at all. He's just trapped in Storybrooke now. He's not the author anymore. The pen has betrayed him. The pen is no longer mightier because he does not have it.
He isn't trapped in the door anymore, though.
He's not trapped in the door. I don't know what it was like in there, but
he said cramped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have him as a loser.
Who you got?
I think you can guess.
Emma.
Absolutely. I mean, she's got the worst situation going forward. She's got the darkness
inside her.
She fundamentally lost and failed the moment with Hook. Her petulant temper tantrum to the Charmings was not really a good look.
No, it was not.
Her connection with Lily was not entertaining. Like, I don't know of anything good that she added outside of... I thought she was good in Operation Mongoose. Like, I actually thought that was, like, a reminder of the Emma from season 1, mm-hmm. where she was... the straight woman, while everyone else is these fantastical characters and she's trying to save the day. Good use of her. Pretty much outside of that, she was terrible. I mean, she murders Cruella. Okay, yeah, she had a gun, but as we later find out, she couldn't even harm Henry.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everything about this feels like Emma is significantly worse off at the end of 4B than she was going into 4B.
Yeah.
And doesn't end up, she doesn't even save the day in the end. Like, it's Regina who's the savior. Yeah. So, yeah,
and Henry. Yeah,
I think that's a huge loss for her. And then, like, from a performance standpoint, I thought she was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But not that closing shot at the end of the death of Cruella. We were both like, the fuck?
What are you? Are you constipated? What's happening?
It was the same question we had when she like attacked Zelina with the light magic. And you were like, I think she has to poop. Yeah, this was not good for her. And I feel like her and Henry really basically didn't connect at all. Yeah. Other than Operation Mongoose.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
All right. Top moments. I actually only have five.
I have four, but one of them has a C point. Or one of them has a, like, bullet point. Okay. Right with it. Yeah. I don't know why it shows C. So why don't you go first?
Oh, watching Rumple walk over the town line and, like, his sort of him throwing away his cane and, like, the limp instantly disappearing. It was just such a cool visual.
I thought that was great. I actually picked a different Rumple moment, which was the entire deception pretending to be Hook.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I think it shows how well he knows Hook, that he's pretty good at it. Like, you see some flashes of Rumple, but, like, you eventually realize it's him. But he's good enough to fool everyone around. And it's also kind of funny, as you know, it's like, he's still unbelievably tender with Belle, even as Hook. Which should be like, why am I doing this, like, pirate's oath, and you're putting your hand up my chest? That's kind of weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, I thought that was just that was Rumple at his best, I think, this season.
I think that was great. Maleficent turning into the dragon only after Regina is in trouble, I thought it was an interesting insight into her, like, the more tender side of her character that, like, we learn kind of in Mother. Yeah.
I think that's fair. Zelina's triumphant return.
Yeah. Zelina threatening Rumple is my ultimate favorite moment.
Not even threatening, but like winning. Because we see a lot of people threaten Rumple. We always go like, that's going to backfire.
Yeah.
Not this one. This is exactly what you needed to do. And she does it fantastic. I mean, she is... I did not like this character before. And now I'm interested to see more of this character, which is an impressive turn.
I didn't have it as a favorite line because I wrote specifically Rumple being so broken that he has to blink yes.
I also like that, like, she's just petty. Yeah. She doesn't want necessarily to be happy. She just wants Regina to be unhappy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wrote Cruella, just Cruella. I have three sub-points about Cruella, but in general, just Cruella is my favorite moment of the season.
She's my ultimate favorite moment of the season, and I put, she steals the show whenever she's on screen, but especially in that flashback.
Yeah.
She was great. Like, she was a delight.
I both have her like, stealing scenes where she is just in the background fucking stroking her coat. Like, she's not even speaking, and you just, like, can't stop looking at her.
It's funny when she's playing Angry Bird, she's like, I'll show you who's angry. Like, it's just everything about her character she nailed.
Absolutely. Watching her sew the dog coat, like, frantically sewing, was amazing. And I love that we didn't redeem her. I love that she is just...
And it felt like we were going to. That was a great twist. Yes. Like, oh, God, we're going to see it. And it's like, oh, no, you're crazy. Like,
yeah. Or it not even just redeem. I also thought we were going to make her sympathetic. And we didn't even do that.
The twist was that she was always a monster.
Yeah.
That, I think, is one of the best... I've said this before. She is the second best permanent villain of this entire series.
Yeah.
And she might be closer to Pan than I realized. Also, the twist that she has not been able to harm anyone and her happy ending is just being able to murder again.
Yeah, that's amazing. Love that.
Oh, fuck. Like, when I said I wanted crazy, I don't want Zelina crazy. Not the original Zelina crazy. This Zelina crazy is kind of fun. I don't want Ingrid crazy. I want Cruella crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I could watch it. And that's why I said I would have never just contained her to this season. I would have made her a permanent fixture all the way through.
I think you made a very excellent point about how Snow and Charming would have been a better choice to take the darkness, and that it also an excellent point, not in this episode, but previously, that it is really dumb to make the Savior the Dark One, because now who fights the Dark One?
I knew there was a butt coming.
Of course, there's a butt coming. It made me cry, like, watching Emma take the darkness for Regina after promising her that she would get her happy ending was beautiful.
It was something. Yeah, you know what's funny? There are often moments that I feel like get to you not because they're logical, but just because they're sappy.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
And I detest those moments almost more than anything in this show because they're so dumb to me. Like, going back a season or two, Snow's insane play to save Charming is like a sappy moment. I think you cried multiple times in it, but I'm like... You risked your baby and you? Like, I think you asked me in one of the episodes recently about, like, well, does Snow just die if Charming dies? And I'm like, well, yeah, because of the heart. But also, we, like, physically saw her decide that, like, I'd rather die than live without Charming. Yeah, in fact, she literally cannot live without Charming. Yeah. So much so that baby Neo would have died and she would have been, I guess, okay with that? I don't know. Was that your last one? I'm assuming that was your... I actually really liked when Henry rejected the power of the author's pen. I think in a show where we've focused a lot on Rumple not being able to resist power, it's a very difficult thing.
That's fair.
And it's not just resisting power. It's resisting power when he wanted a thing that maybe this pin could do or create a fake version. He goes, you know what? Even though I want my dad back, no one needs his power. And he snaps it like that. That's an important lesson to have learned from both his grandfather and his great-grandfather. They're like, no, and his mom, honestly. Yeah. She took power, too.
I agree that the act of Henry doing it is good. I struggle with how much they like built up that the author is like a super important role and someone must do it, and then now we just don't have one. But
because the apprentice seems okay with what he did.
Yeah.
Like, in fact, he even says, "I think we found the right person." So maybe snapping the pin isn't.
That was what. Maybe no one needed to record. Maybe Isaac's punishment was just that he had to write down a bunch of stories all the time.
Maybe.
I don't know. All right, winner. I got 3.
So I have 4, but I'm going to put 2 honorable mentions. So they didn't win, but I thought they deserved a shout out. Maleficent, one of my honorable mentions.
Okay.
I think she's one of the few, if not the only villain, who truly gets what she wants in the end, but she just doesn't get enough time on the screen. Like, she really felt like a background character, even though she was central to it. I feel like she's only in 3 or 4 episodes. I should have gotten a full episode of her and Lily together.
Uh-huh.
We should have gotten a full episode of the Charmings trying to atone for what they did with Maleficent. We should have gotten more badass dragon bitch. And instead, we kind of just get, like, the thought of Maleficent more than actual Maleficent, which was disappointing to me.
I have Maleficent.
I figured you would.
Because I think she got exactly what she wanted. Yep. And we didn't talk about this in any of the, like, lines or favorite moments or whatever, but when Maleficent tells Rumple, like, I'm the reason, mm-hmm. like, you need me. And you sort of have this moment where, like, I think maybe Rumple, like, tries to, like, think about making a deal, and she's like, no. You need me. And he's like, yeah.
So, ironically, we find out that he didn't.
Yeah.
Kind of cheapened that moment when we found out that he didn't need her, which kind of sucked. But yeah, no, I think she definitely deserves a mention. And then Zelina, purely for her return.
Oh, that's a good one. I don't have that, but I think that's a great, yeah.
Much like Maleficent, she didn't get enough meaningful time, but that episode, she stole the show. She was absolutely fantastic. She was great. Honorable mention. Not going to get my win, but I think she's really good. So we already said one of yours. Maleficent is one of your winners. You had 3.
Yeah. I have Regina.
Yep. I have Regina at 2nd place.
She got Robin back.
With an asterisk, but yeah.
With an asterisk. Yeah. She kind of figured out what she needs. Like, she sort of figured out what her happy ending is. Like, she doesn't need to get in the way of her own happiness. And she doesn't die from darkness or become the Dark One? Whatever was going to happen in that scene?
I'm unclear with that, like, yeah, Regina becoming...
Was it going to make her dark?
When it made it a dark?
To the Dark One? I don't know. but whatever that was, it didn't happen.
Didn't happen, that's fair. I think I would have given her 1st place had she properly dealt with the Zelina problem. Like, you had the opportunity to write her out of existence. Don't fuck up there. I think she was a winner this season. I actually think the other important piece is that, other than the end of 2, which I don't particularly find as meaningful as you do, we've really always seen Regina do things because, like, she loves Henry or, like, she wants to do a thing. That was the first sacrifice where, like, it's Henry, but she doesn't know Henry like that.
Yeah.
And she still says, like, I couldn't let you die. Like, oh, that's Regina finally being a hero. Not just doing a heroic thing to save her son, but saving a random person that she doesn't really know because it's the right thing to do. That's why I gave her the win. It's like, ah, now that's kind of different Regina. But the fact that action was, like, capable within her shows that she could be good eventually. Even if I don't fully understand what a hero and a villain means in this show. I'm going to go back to 3rd place real quick. I have a tie. Cruella and the author. Neither one of them get ultimately what they want, but their performances were so fucking good that...
That's a good one.
I think they earned it. The author was a delight. Cruella was a delight. They have one of my favorite flashbacks. I think both characters added a lot to the show. And the way that they interact with each character was fun.
Oh, yeah.
It was super fun. Yeah, like Cruella tormenting Charming and the author talking about how broken Regina is. Like, it was fun to a point that, like, I really wish they had more time with all of the characters. Other than maybe, like, Emma, to be quite honest, because she's not that interesting to me. You have 1 left, I have 1 left.
Yeah, I have Henry.
I also have Henry as my ultimate winner.
He gets to save the day.
He got the job done.
Yep. He becomes the author.
Yep.
And yeah, he gets everybody back. He does it.
I mean, he wins.
Drives a car.
Yeah. He, I mean, Operation Mongoose was Operation Cobra Part 2. And yeah. He does exactly what he did the first time. But I think his plan was like, I want to find a way to get my mom a happy ending in a way that no one had really been found to do. And he is the catalyst for that. He also is the reason that the Charmings finally decide to do the right thing.
Uh-huh.
Because for the most part, they were going to take this cover up as far as they needed to. And then Snow's like, we can't do this to Henry. So he seems to be the catalyst for everyone making the right choice. Other than Emma, strangely enough. Because she kills Cruella unnecessarily. Though she didn't know that.
Yeah.
But like, he doesn't seem to be her salvation, strangely enough. But yeah, I thought Henry was good. And he was also, when he was on screen, he was fun. I mean, they didn't give him enough. But he ultimately,
yeah,
he did save the day. The only thing that I would say is a loss is that, like, his mom just disappeared and turned into the Dark One. Kind of sucks.
Yep, that's not great.
That's not great. But also, I mean...
But he has the heart of the truest believer, so...
He's willing to go down to one mom. He's just not willing to go below that. He's always said his line is at least one mom, and he's still got Regina, who's back.
He does.
And he's got Robin Hood back, which has got to be kind of cool. We saw how much he's excited for that.
All right. Top 5 questions for season 5. I have 5, actually.
I also have 5, exactly. I'm going to start with 5, so you can start.
What does it mean that Henry is the author and he broke the pen?
I put, Henry's the author but broke the pen. Does that mean he rejected the role of the author?
Does the author still exist? Do they have to find anyone?
I mean, the author...
A new pen?
The author always has to exist, from what I understand.
Yes. And apparently it's the most important job. But so, now it's not going to get done.
Is it him? Is it someone? Is he going to help pick the new author? I don't know. It's my question going forward. And I don't think... I think we will get this answered, but I don't know if we get it this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. So we know we're going to Camelot at some point, because we've heard Merlin referenced. Who's the villain?
Yeah, I have the same... like, what's the backstory of Merlin creating the Dark One?
Yeah.
Like, remove darkness. And, like, that seems like a really dark story. Like, is Merlin the villain?
Yeah, is Merlin our villain that we're trying to
fight? Like, we're putting all the darkness into a person? How did you choose this person?
Because now that we've referenced Merlin, I just naturally assume Merlin was the sorcerer. But if Merlin isn't the sorcerer, is Merlin the sorcerer's greatest enemy?
I don't know.
Because normally we do get characters with a twist. Dark Merlin could be fun.
And I'll say I fucking love King Arthur. I've been obsessed with it since I was a kid. I was pumped for this. Yeah.
Okay.
What will happen to Rumple?
What does the darkness being removed from Rumple mean for him going forward?
Yep. Is he dead? Is he in a coma forever? Is he gonna be a good person now? Like, is he gonna be a coward still? Like, what? I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if his heart is pure or just nothing.
I think that's the same thing in this
show. Well, like, is he good? Yeah. Like, is his heart white because he's good? Or is he, like, a blank slate?
I think he's a blank slate.
Yeah.
I think...
And will he still be a coward? Is, I guess...
Yes.
Yeah.
We have reset him back to the end of 3A. Basically, Rumple was dead after saving Pan and done a good thing. I'm assuming that was a heroic sacrifice. Okay, now the darkness has been removed from him and he's dead.
Yeah.
360 after 2 seasons. Zelina's having a baby while in jail. So does she get to raise the baby? Or once the baby comes out, it's just Robin's baby and she just stays there in jail? Like, look, Zelina's a monster, but, like, how are we resolving that?
I don't know. We didn't figure that out. They didn't figure that out. It's gonna be messy, they say.
Yeah. Also, Zelina's back in Storybrooke. You know the power's coming back at some point.
Oh, yeah. She's not going to keep that cuff on forever.
No.
We've already seen one way that someone removes that cuff.
Well, we've only seen Pan remove it, and it's
no.
His.
Whoever. Rumple removes it.
He cuts off the ear. That's right. He does. Well, he doesn't remove the cuff. He removes his hand.
Yes.
Those are different things.
Do Regina and Robin get to be happy now? Seems like the answer is always no. Will Snow and Charming have to ever get to stop finding each other?
You know what's funny? They actually didn't have to find each other in quite some time.
It's true.
It's been a while since they've been apart.
It's true.
Since like 2, I think.
Yeah.
They're together in 3A, they're together in 3B, they're together in 4A, they're together now. They've kind of dropped them being apart.
Well, we did think Charming was going to die for part of 3A.
We did, but they were together while it was happening.
Yes.
I only have one ring.
Me too.
look, without spoiling this, I can tell you 5A is not my favorite season. So how exactly bad is this going to be? Honestly, like, I knew Frozen was going to suck going into it. I knew Darksaber was going to suck because I just don't think Emma's a good character. And more importantly, I don't think Jennifer Morrison can pull off the complexities of the Dark One the way Robert Carlyle has.
I think that's very true.
I mean, it's a character, as you would say, with walls. I would say a character who can't emote. The Dark One is a complex, good and evil balance in a way that, like, Emma can't do that. Snow could do it. Charming could do it. I don't see how this is anything other than disastrous.
Especially, like, theoretically, Emma should be a different Dark One than Rumple, because she was a different person to begin with. But yeah, I think the complexity is going to be difficult to see. And my last question is also, like, where did Emma go?
Yeah.
And how will they help her? How are they going to get to the Enchanted Forest,
We don't even know if she went to the Enchanted Forest.
It's true.
Also, what was the point of all of this? We did all of this talking about how we needed to turn Emma dark. We didn't turn Emma dark because we could use Lily's savior blood. And then in the end, we just turn Emma dark?
I don't know, man.
This is the worst path to this. Of the things that I think 4B messed up, that's the one that, like, never made any lick of sense to me. And just what I got out of it was, like, honestly, Dark Henry, Dark Charmings, Dark Belle, Dark anyone else, Dark Regina, I don't fucking care. This is just not going to be it. It's just not going to be good.
Well, please be sure to join us next time. We're going to do a deep dive on Hook and Emma before we start season 5.
Captain Swan time.
Captain Swan time indeed. I hope you all join us for this adventure with two people that we have mixed feelings about.
This will be exciting. I hope you enjoyed 4B's recap, and we'll see you next time.